Hello, everybody. This is an audio discussion of the macroeconomics fall of 07 second exam. You be sure to use the pause button if you get behind in taking notes. There were several versions of the exam, but the order of the questions was the same. I'll read the question, and then I will read off the correct answer. When the exams are shuffled, then, or different versions, the correct answer is a different letter. Okay, question one, if you borrow $1,000 for 30 days from a bank and the bank tells you the interest rate is 5%, well, the best answer is none of the other answers is correct, but I also gave credit for this interest rate is equal to 5% per year, so you will owe much less than $50 when you repay the loan. That should have read much less than $50 interest when you repay the loan. If you, of course, when you repay the loan, you have to pay it back the $1,000, the principal plus the interest, and so you will owe much more than $50. You'll owe $1,000 plus interest. C is probably not the best, or so that's probably not the best answer. Question two. But the main point of question one was that these are annualized figures. Interest rates is one of the numbers which is expressed as an annualized figure. You don't express on a monthly loan that the interest rate is 1%. You say that the interest rate is 12% on a monthly loan, and that means roughly 1% per month. Now, question two, when explaining expansions and recessions, the classical model is seriously flawed. The reference, page reference is page 164. Okay, question three, quite a few people missed question three. Evaluate each of the following statements about the historical record of inflation in the U.S. and then choose the best answer from A through E below. Statement 1, from 1950 to 2003, the two worst years of price inflation occurred in the early and late 1970s, and in each of those 2 years, prices rose by more than 10%. Well, there is no way to know whether that is true or false based on either text or lectures, so therefore I'll give you credit for answering that statement is either true or false. Statement 2. From 1950 to 2003, most years had inflation rates of at least 5%. That's incorrect. Most inflation rates were less than, most years had inflation rates of less than 5%. Statement 3, from 1922 to 2003, there have been 7 years in which prices actually fell, and several of those years have occurred since 1960. Well, there's not sufficient information to know about, in the book, to know about 1922 through 2003, but there is enough information to know about the second phrase, several of those years have occurred since 1960. That phrase is false. There have been no years since 1960 when prices actually fell. There's a chart on page 142 that you can use to confirm this. By the way, the inflation rates for statement one for various years, there's a chart on page 150. Oh no, there's a statement on page 150 that's relevant to that, and I'll read it. Page 150. Three times during the last 50 years, we have had double-digit inflation. 14% during 1947-48, 12% in 1974, and 13% during 1979 and 1980. All right, so, as I say, I will give you credit for the answer only statement one is true. I will also give you credit for none of statements 1 through 3 are true. And I've already made that correction, so you should have already been given credit either way. Okay, question 4, quite a few people missed. Based on the circular flow model and starting from an unemployment equilibrium, decide whether each of the following statements is true or false, then choose the best answer. Okay, from an unemployment equilibrium, what happens if the government cuts taxes? Will this stimulate the economy to grow? No. We did this experiment in the circular flow model in class, and it will not. It will only cause interest rates to rise. Statement 2, if the government increases government spending, this will stimulate the economy to grow. This is also false. We went over that again. It says it's one of the experiments in the circular flow model. Statement 3, if the government increases the money supply, this will stimulate the economy to grow. Yes. Starting from an unemployment equilibrium, an increase in the money supply will stimulate the economy to grow. Therefore, that statement is true. And so, statements 1 and 2 are false, but 3 is true. And that is the correct answer. Question 5. Choose the best answer. And by the way, all right. So nominal GDP was more than $12,000 billion in 2005. That is correct. Nominal GDP was less than $1,000 billion in 2004. That is obviously wrong. Nominal GDP was a bit less than $2,000 billion in 2005. That was wrong, since the first answer I read was correct. Nominal GDP was between $12 and $13 billion in 2005. That's incorrect. It's between $12 and $13 trillion in 2005. And then finally, in $2,000, real GDP was more than $12,000 billion in the year 2000. That is false, and the proof of it is in your book, Figure 4, page 124. That chart is in $2,000, and you'll see that there is no date when real GDP in $2,000 was more than $12,000 billion. Okay, question 6. Compute the value added in the year 2006 of the following firm, Acme Screw and Bolt Company. The data: no prices changed during the year. The firm sold 20 million of screws and bolts. The inventory of unsold screws and bolts declined by 1 million during the year. The firm bought 8 million of inputs. including copper, iron, and many other inputs, and the firm's inventories of inputs increased by 3 million during the year. All right. This is a question to explore whether you have learned about the value-added approach. We discussed in class the fact that when you do value-added or when you do the final sales approach, either one, you have to adjust for inventories. You have to add the inventory change. If there's an increase in inventories, it makes your answer bigger. If there's a decrease in inventories, it makes your answer smaller. Also made the point that it does not matter whether the inventories are inventories of inputs or inventories of the final goods of your firm or the output of your firm. Applying those ideas here, the value added is equal to final sales, which is 20 million, minus the cost of inputs, which is 8 million, plus the change in inventories. Well, inventories of the production of this firm, the goods produced and sold, screws and bolts, declined. So we would put minus 1, but the firm's inventories of inputs, which are used in the production of screws and bolts, increased by 3 million. So we have plus 3 minus 1 equals plus 2. So we have 20 million minus 8 is 12 million, plus 2 is 14 million. Value added was 14 million. Question 7. Choose the correct, the best answer. Based on what your professor has said in lecture, if the economy is in a full employment equilibrium and the money supply increases by a small amount, like 3%, and the correct answer is, prices may take a very long time to rise and will not rise by more than about 3%. When we did the experiment of increasing the money supply, the basic idea was if you increase the money supply by X percent, then prices will rise by X percent. However, how quickly prices will rise is going to depend on many factors, and one of the important factors is how big of an increase in money supply has occurred. If the money supply increase is small, then there is a relatively small increase, there is a relatively small excess supply of money, and the forces which are operating in the economy are very weak and have their impact over a very long period of time. Part of the reason that it's difficult to use monetary policy, changes in the money supply or interest rates, to affect the economy is that it's very difficult to predict how long it's going to take for the monetary policy to have its effect. And small adjustments in monetary policy and the size of the money supply tend to have their effects over a very long period of time. So even though it's basically the correct thing to do, it does not speed up the adjustment process. And unless the increase in money supply is quite substantial. When it's quite substantial, then you run the risk that you've overdone it and will create inflation, which you didn't want to create. All right, question 8. Which statement best describes economic fluctuations? And the correct answer is expansions and contractions vary in duration and magnitude, with expansions tending to last longer than contractions. This is obvious from any of the charts in the text showing recessions. For example, figure 2, on page 232. Notice that the vertical bands indicating the recessions cover far less than half of the total time covered in the chart. So recessions are shorter than expansions by a substantial margin. Statement B, that expansions typically last 7 years while recessions typically last 3 years. Well, you can see that from that same chart that those statements are just, you can't use those numbers to stand for typical recessions. There's too much variability in recessions, too much variability in expansions. Expansions tending to be shorter than contractions is incorrect. The percent change in output is larger during recessions than during expansions. Well, no, every expansion takes us to new highs. So if we declined during the recession, then the next expansion takes us up by a larger percentage than we declined. All right. Now, question 9. The reason a shock to one sector can spread to the whole economy is that a decrease in production in one sector leads to an overall decrease in spending. The idea is, if you have one sector where you now have unemployed people, those unemployed have lower income and therefore spend less, and that causes the recession to spread to other sectors. Question 10, quite a few people missed. Which of the following statements about measuring prices are true? Statement 1. If my base year basket costs $30,000 to purchase this year, and 3 years from now it costs $33,000 to purchase the same base year basket, then the price index based on this basket will tell you that prices have risen by 10%. That statement is correct. The cost of the base year basket is used to measure whether prices have risen, and in this case, $33,000 is 10% larger than $30,000. Statement 2. If the cost of my base year basket has risen by 10%, then the cost of your base year basket has also risen by 10%. Well, that statement is false, because the base year basket needs to be appropriate for the individual or the group which is being studied. What I purchase is different from what you purchase. And therefore, if my base year, based on my base year basket, it looks like prices have gone up, but the price changes are of goods which you do not purchase, then your basket would not show the same inflation rate. So statement 2 is false. Statement 3, a new base year basket must be calculated every few years, otherwise inflation starts looking lower than it really is. Well, not necessarily lower. The inflation rate will look different than it really is. The problem is that whatever my basket was in the base year, later on maybe I don't buy that good. If I don't buy that and that good, then if the price of that good goes up or goes down, using my basket, I get inflation or deflation, but in reality, I'm not being affected. So, depending on whether that price that's no longer in my actual basket has gone up or gone down, inflation, calculated inflation, may look higher or lower than it really is. And then what about the good that did not used to be in the price index, but now it is? it is part of my basket now, but in the original basket it wasn't. If that price goes up, then my cost of living has gone up, but that price is not in the basket, and so it doesn't cause inflation. And so again, actual inflation may look either higher or lower depending on whether the price of that new good is going up or going down. So statement 3 is false. Statement 4, if a good rises in price and also in quality, calculated inflation will be lower than actual inflation. No, it'll be higher than actual inflation. If the good rises in price, then when you calculate inflation, the cost of living looks like it's gone up. So it looks like the calculated inflation shows inflation, but if the quality has gone up, then you don't care. Your standard of living has not actually been hurt by the rise in prices, because the rise in price has been matched by a rise in quality. So calculated inflation would be higher than actual. Right, so the correct answer is only statement 1 is correct. Okay, question 11. If the economy is in full employment equilibrium and the money supply is increased 12%, then we expect, and the correct answer is, prices to rise 12%. This was one of the experiments that we did. And it goes without saying that you need to review those experiments. They will occur on every exam from this point on. So be sure that you review and understand the notes from the circular flow model and those experiments. Question 12, which of the following statements about measuring prices are true? Statement 1, if my base year basket costs $1,000 to purchase this year, and 1 year from now it costs $1,200 to purchase the same basket, then the price index based on this basket will tell you that prices have risen by 10%. No, that is false. Prices have risen by 20%, because $1,200 is 20% larger than $1,000. Statement 2, if dingbats are one of the goods in the base year basket, and 30% of the base year budget was spent on dingbats, and in some future year all prices are unchanged except the price of dingbats has increased by 20%, then the price index will have risen by 6%. That statement is correct. To calculate it, the easiest way of proving it to yourself is to imagine say 3 goods, and let the total budget that you've spent on all 3 goods in the base year be $100, and 30% of that is spent on dingbats. So you spend $30 on dingbats in the first year and the other $70 on the other goods. Now in a future year, no prices have changed except on dingbats. So it still costs you $70 to purchase the other goods, but the price of dingbats has increased by 20%, and since they cost $30 to purchase in the base year, they now cost $36 to purchase. That's 20% larger than $30. So the cost of living in the future year is $36 plus 70, or 106. And so you can see that the cost of buying the basket was 100 in the base year, and it's now equal to 106, 6% larger. So statement 2 is true. Statement 3, suppose people are now purchasing more computers and fewer typewriters, so the basket has changed. However, we're still using the base year basket to calculate inflation. And suppose that typewriter prices have been rising and computer prices have been falling. Well, typewriter prices are too big in the basket, and those prices have been rising, so the basket shows inflation. But computer prices have been falling, and if they were in the basket, they'd show that prices were going down. So your actual situation is not as bad as the inflation. The computed price index will show more inflation than actually exists. So that statement is false. And so the correct answer for question 12 is only statement 2 is correct. Now, question 13. Based on the simple circular flow model as presented in recent lectures, if the economy is in an unemployment equilibrium, so wages and prices are downward sticky, and the government cuts taxes, but the money supply is not permitted to change, evaluate each of the following statements. So the government cuts taxes, and we already know that a cut in taxes will not stimulate the economy. What about statement 1? Inflation definitely will occur because the tax cut leaves more income in the hands of the public, permitting them to increase spending. Well, no. There is no reason why inflation would occur. Statement 2. I mean, we know that the economy does not grow. So why would it? Why would there be inflation? Statement 2: the economy will definitely be stimulated by the tax cut and begin to recover. Well, the whole point of going through the circular flow model was so that you would learn that tax cuts do not have that desired effect. And so that statement is false. Statement 3, interest rates will decline and the economy will begin to recover. Well, it will not begin to recover, but worse than that, interest rates will not rise. Will not decline, they'll rise. A tax cut causes more borrowing and drives the interest rates up in the financial sector. Statement 4, interest rates will rise and the economy will begin to recover. Well, that statement is correct about interest rates, but the economy will not recover, so that statement is false. And then statement 5, interest rates will rise, but the economy will not be stimulated by the tax cut. That statement is true, and it's straight out of the experiments of the circular flow model. And so the correct answer is statement 5 is correct. Okay, question 14. If the price of oil rises 9%, while the cost of living, the price index, falls 7%, then what has happened to real oil prices? Well, the formula I gave you in class, it's in the book also, percent change in real equals percent change in nominal minus percent change in prices. The price of oil has risen 9%, so the percent change in nominal is plus 9. Prices have fallen by 7%, so the percent change in prices is minus 7. So the formula is 9 minus a minus 7. A minus of a minus is plus, so we have 9 plus 7, or 16. The correct answer is oil prices have risen by about 16%. Okay, that's the end of this discussion. The discussion begins with question 15 in the next recording.